The Federal Reserve does not set rates for your credit card. However, that does not mean there is no impact. The TikTok CEO went before Congress today for like 5 hours. Ford has said it will lose billions of dollars on their EV gamble, but they're still all in. In other car news, say goodbye to yet another muscle car. Hey, bourbon lovers, have we got a story for you? And candy lovers, beware. There is something brewing in California. We've got the Wall Street Report, and we'll talk about wage gains at the highest pay levels and at the lowest. It's the Business News Headlines. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Taro International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome once again to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful, as always, that you've decided to spend some time with us today. Want to find us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB underscore NewsHour. This past week, the U.S. Central Bank, under the leadership of Jerome Powell, raised interest rates for the ninth time. While the Federal Reserve does not set rates for your credit card, the rate increases do impact what you pay if you carry a monthly balance. And with credit card interest rates already being at their highest level in 15 years, perhaps you should take note. The Associated Press is reporting the latest increase will likely raise the APR on your credit card by a quarter of a point. So if you have a 20.4% rate, which is the average according to Bankrate, it might increase to 20.65%. But if, for example, you have a $4,000 credit balance and your interest rate is 20%, if you only make a fixed payment of $110 a month, it will take you a bit over 5 years to pay off your credit card debt, and you would pay approximately $2,200 in interest. Key here, if you can, do not carry a balance from month to month, and if you have a balance, try to pay it off as quickly as possible. The CEO of TikTok, Xiao Chu, was in a congressional hearing for 5 hours this week, and the opening line from Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, the chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, opened the hearing by telling Chow, quote, "Your platform should be banned," end quote. Well, I mean, what could go wrong after that opening line? It's clear right from the outset that Washington, D.C. has its mind made up that the platform should be either banned or divested, and that seems to be a bipartisan sentiment. Because why? Well, we're not sure. Maybe you just need a boogeyman out there. CNN is reporting that much of Chu's attempts to stress that his company is not an arm of the Chinese government appeared to fall on deaf ears. Numerous members of Congress interrupted the chief executive's testimony to say they simply don't believe him. Chairwoman McMorris Rogers responded with this, quote, "To the American people watching today, hear this. TikTok is a weapon by the Chinese Communist Party to spy on you, manipulate what you see, and exploit for future generations," end quote. In other words, none of this went very well for TikTok. The story is really way too long for the Business News Headlines, but one thing is for certain. Social media influencers who use TikTok may just be wanting to find an alternative, we would think. The Ford Motor Company has said it will lose $3 billion as the automaker continues to move forward with electric vehicles. And that is on top of a $900 million loss in 2021 and a $1.2 billion loss just last year. So, what is the company doing about it? The answer is plowing ahead. CNN is reporting that Ford said it still expects EVs to start making money soon, going from a 40% operating loss margin last year when it sold about 96,000 EVs that brought in $5.3 billion in revenue to about an 8% profit margin by the end of 2026. It expects increased production of EVs to bring global product of those vehicles to a $2 million annual rate by the end of that year. We shall see. And then there was one. CNN is reporting that General Motors is halting production of the classic Camaro muscle car. The company joins Dodge in sticking a fork into high-horsepower gasoline vehicles. And that decision leaves only one automaker, that would be Ford, with its Mustang. GM is in the process of shifting to an all-electric vehicle lineup by 2035 as it invests billions in designing and building future EV models, with 75% of capital spending now dedicated to EVs and autonomous vehicles. That has resulted in a severe scaling back of investment in new versions of traditional internal combustion engine vehicles. The current model of the Camaro is the sixth version of that car in history. It's built at the Lansing Grand River Assembly Plant in Michigan, which will stop building it in January of next year. The Camaro model was first introduced in 1966 as a competitor to Ford's hugely successful Mustang, which had come out in 1964. I had a, by the way, 1966 Ford Mustang. Three on the floor, by the way. The Camaro was dropped from the lineup in 2002, but brought back in 2010. So the question is, will electric muscle cars be as cool? Yeah, we just kind of have our doubts. Well, it was a volatile day on Wall Street with some wild swings. The Dow at one point was flashing green, bouncing upward by over 450 points, only to come crashing down later in the session. In the end, the major indexes did all finish in the green, but down from session highs. Those numbers? Well, they're coming at you in just a bit. If you're a true lover of bourbon, this story will set you back a bit. Men's Journal is reporting that a single decanter of Redemption 36-year-old bourbon just sold at Sotheby's auction for a staggering $18,000. That same amount of cash would have been used to buy about 600 bottles worth of Maker's Mark, enough to fill three barrels with pretty dang good American whiskey. So what was the bidder thinking, actually acquiring, by allocating so much money to such a seemingly foolhardy manner? Well, in a word, that winning bidder was buying rarity. Get this. In total, only 18 bottles of the liquid exist. It was initially released back in 2017 as part of Redemption's Ancients collection. The 97.6 proof bourbon was sourced from the legendary MGP Distillery in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Now, if you were lucky enough to nab one then at retail, it would have only set you back a measly $1,200. Not a bad return for whoever put it under auction this past week, though perhaps they could have fetched even more. Get this, there is the same bottle being listed for sale at a price point of $42,000. But there could be a but in all of this. Are you ready for a deep dive into bourbon? Aaron Goldfarb, a Kentucky colonel and author of the book Hacking Whiskey, said that he once tried a bourbon that was 45 years old, and it was, sort of in his words, awful. Unless you like the taste of varnish. Goldfarb says that the real hack to remember is that the requirements of bourbon making simply don't lend themselves to extended aging as they do in Scotland, Ireland, and in Japan. The liquid matures in new barrels of charred American oak, often in parts of the country with wild swings in temperature and humidity between summer and winter. And that's why most distillers in Kentucky and Indiana tell you their beloved beverage hits its sweet spot somewhere around a dozen years in the cask. There are exceptions to the rule, of course, like Michener's 20-year-old bourbon and some skirt the laws of bluegrass physics by making use of temperature-controlled warehouses. But this story is well beyond taste. This is much more about owning something to which only 17 other humans on Earth can lay claim to. And if that's what you prize, perhaps $18,000 is really a bargain. Let's move on to something that is not rare but is still being threatened. Can you imagine a world without Skittles, Pez, Sour Patch Kids, Jelly Beans, Trident Sugar-Free Gum, and Campbell's Soup? Well, that may be the case in California, where a bill has been introduced to protect folks from what is being called dangerous ingredients. Bear with me on this. I'm not so good at figuring out these names, so here we go. There are five main ingredients that are of concern. Red dye number 3, titanium dioxide, potassium bromate, bromated vegetable oil, and propylparaben, all which have been linked to an increased risk of cancer and DNA and organ damage. Additionally, 3 out of these 5 ingredients are already banned in the European Union. So what does all of this mean for consumers, both inside and outside of California? According to a Daily Mail article that was released, if the law does get passed, then stores in the Golden Bear State would either not be allowed to sell them, or the company that produces these products would be forced to change their formulas to fit the new guidelines. The new formulas would most likely affect the products sold in all other states as well, since there would be no point in having multiple recipes. See what you learn here? No Skittles? Come on, what are you talking about? Well, it's an active day on Wall Street with the major indexes falling from session highs but still ending in the green. The Dow ended the day up by a scant 75 points to close at 32,105 as investors went back to bank failure fears. The NASDAQ gained 117 points to end the trade at 11,787, and the S&P 500 gained 11 points to finish at 3,948. During the trade, both the Dow and the S&P 500 fell below the flatline and into negative territory before rebounding just a bit. West Texas Intermediate crude suffered another down day, closing below $69.50 a barrel. And finally, there is this. And this has to do with wage gains among both top earners and those at the bottom. Not even hot inflation has stood in the way of wage gains for low earners, according to a new analysis from the Economic Policy Institute. Between 2019 and 2020, pay rose 9% for the bottom percentile of earners after adjusting for the fastest price increases in decades. The pickup came as a tight labor market strengthened the position of workers. But the $12.57 per hour earned by those at the bottom of the scale is still not a living wage, which is why we see so many low-wage workers toiling at not one, but two, or maybe even sometimes 3 jobs. But if you are already earning a ton of money, your world just got even better. Earnings popped even more at the very top, with wages for the highest 1% of earners rising by 16%, and get this, folks that represent 0.1% of the population skyrocketed by over 29%. In other words, yes, it is good to be king. And that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, we are wishing you a pleasant evening and morning. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.